Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, if I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me the question, do I have to go to church to be a Christian, I'd be a wealthy man. We'd have the mission campus sorted. Maybe not that wealthy. And on the one hand, it's a good question. When it comes to our relationship with God, we do not want tradition to get in the way of truth. On the other hand, I suspect the reason why it's such a common question is because of the tradition Western culture breathes ever since the Enlightenment. And the tradition is one you'll know as soon as I say it. It'll be really obvious to you. The tradition is individualism. We live and breathe in a culture that promotes individualism. And with that culture, there come some benefits. Every single individual should have dignity and freedom. Having said that, we also need to recognize hyper-individualism comes with great cost. And those costs we experience in family, in friendships, and in community. 500 years ago, Christians were not asking, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? They lived and breathed in a conservative, communal, family-orientated culture. Today, we live and breathe in a culture, and we ask the question regularly because our culture is progressive, individual, and self-focused orientated. Now, you probably don't expect me to say this. Both cultures have their strengths and weaknesses. Because every culture must come under the love and rule of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to the church, that's what I'm provoking us to think about with this question, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? When it comes to church, no matter what culture we are living in, King Jesus is building his church. And Jesus's church consists of saved people. And so, real question, how did Jesus save us? That was so slow. I promise Arvo Church is going to beat you. All right. He died for us, didn't he? Jesus willingly and joyfully suffered infinite pain so that we can experience infinite joy. And through Jesus, we become children of God. That the King of the universe is our Father. The Father is our King. This is extraordinary. And once we realize what Jesus swept us up into, we quickly realize that, do I have to go to church is a silly question. It's the same as asking, do I have to go to family? What a silly question. So as we begin this sermon in our series, How People Change, it's important we remember the power and the beauty of Jesus' church. Jesus saved us. We are his bride. We are his body. We are sisters and brothers. Let me say that last one again. We are sisters and brothers. Siblings is the most often used description of Christians in the New Testament. There's an old saying, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. Well, when it comes to our church family, we may not have chosen each other, but God did. And today we're going to see that the sisters and brothers God chose to place us in family with are the sisters and brothers that we need for God to change us more and more into his likeness. Today we're going to be reminded of the importance of church. Important because God is an eternal community. And he's bringing his children into his eternal community so that he can change us more like his community. Did you hear that? God actually is an eternal community. And he's bringing his children into that eternal community so that he can change us to be like his community. And so our three headings are our God, our community, our growth. That's where we're headed. And so firstly, our God. If you've got Ephesians 4 open in a moment, I'm going to read from verse 1. But before I do, I have a question for you. Real question. In whose image are we created? That was good. I don't know if Harbour Church will beat you on that one. That was quick. And for those who've been a Christian for a while, it was a simple question. On the very first page of the Bible, we're told that God made us in his image. We're created in the image of God. The image of God is a huge doctrine. Several years ago, we had a whole term, the sermon series, the Point Group series was called the Imago Dei, the image of God. Now, because God created us in his image, in order to understand who we are, we actually need to understand who God is. And one of the things we're about to hear about God is that God is three persons. The Bible's crystal clear on this. There is only one God, and at the same time, he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to do a whole sermon on that this morning, but sign up for deep discipleship next year. It's exciting to see what everyone's learning there. And so follow along with that in mind about who God is as three in one as I read from Ephesians 4 verse 1. I therefore, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are going to think about verses 4-6 that describe God before we come back to us in verses 1-3. And in verses 4-6, we have the Spirit. We have the Son, who's actually called Lord, and we have the Father. And the first thing we notice from verses 4-6 is that repetition of the word one. There is one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Here's the thing about the oneness of God. Forever, God has existed as one God who is three persons. Let's pause right there and think about that. Forever, God has existed as one God who is three persons. I've never had a single relationship that has been perfect in every imaginable way. Neither have you. And if anyone's just fallen in love and you want to disagree and you want to say, no, I've met the one and everything's perfect, just wait one day. All right. We all, somewhere along the line, hurt each other. But not with God. Forever. God has existed as one God and three persons. And forever, there has been nothing but perfect forever love. As we contemplate the forever love of God between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are approaching holiness, glory, a weightiness. I think it's impossible for us to fully grasp the weighty implications of God's forever perfect love. And so here's an illustration just to try and help us. On average, the sun is 150 million kilometers from the earth. 150 million kilometers from the earth. And yet on a clear summer's day, it can scorch us, yeah? Like imagine the blazing energy at the center of a sun that can so radiate out over 150 kilometers and heat us up and illuminate everything. God is an eternally blazing core of love. Forever, perfect love has existed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God did not create us in His image because He was needy or deficient. God created us in His image. He created a universe, put us in it, in His image, out of the overflow of His love, so that we could experience that love and extend His love. The next time you're tempted to ask the question, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? Remember whose you are. Your core identity is child of God. Saved by the forever perfect love of God. And we together have been saved so that we can illuminate and extend the love of God throughout the universe. We are sister and brother because we're children of God. And the God who saved us is the God who made us. And He is the God who is changing us as He brings us together. We're designed right down to our very DNA to be relational. And so to ask, do I have to go to church, is really the same as asking, do I have to go to family? It really is the wrong question. We're God's, and He's relational, and He's bringing us into His community. And so let's come back to verses 1 to 3 now. With knowing who our God is, Ephesians 4 verse 1 begins, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's what we need to see, and I hope once you see it, you'll never be able to unsee it again. All of the you in those verses, which is so true of most of the New Testament, are plurals. They're yous, not you. Remember, the air we breathe is modern individualism. Our temptation is to read the New Testament and think, here's another passage where Jesus is just personally being directive to me. No, Jesus is being personally directive to us. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge yous to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which yous have been called. All the English teachers are going to come up afterwards and sack me. All right. The most confronting way I can put it is like this. You are a we before you're a you. I am a we before I am an I. We're so intoxicated by modern individualism, that air that we breathe, that we need a shake-up to hear all the plurals of the New Testament. Now, remember what I said before? So if I was preaching this in a totalitarian North Korean congregation, I'd preach, you are an I before you are a we. All cultures have their strengths and weaknesses because all cultures must come under the love and rule of Jesus Christ. Okay, that was our God. This is who God is, an eternal, loving, relational God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so asking the question, do I have to go to church if I'm a Christian, is the same as asking, do I have to go to family? We're created and adopted by a forever relational God, and we're brought into his family. God saved you. God saved me. And he empowers each of us to come together in a committed local family so that together we will multiply and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. Of course we have to go to church. It's the most exciting, powerful community that we're part of. Now to our second heading, our community. And here's where I want you to skip down to verse 11. So we're skipping a few verses, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he, context is, that's Jesus. And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So Jesus gave all of these word-speaking people to the church. Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Coal can become a diamond through lots of time and lots of pressure. Impure gold is purified through extreme heat. Lapidary, the skill of shaping raw stones into beautiful gemstones by putting them through a tumbler with a metallic oxide. As the stones bump up against each other with that metallic oxide, they come out shiny and beautiful gemstones. In many ways, church is God's tumbler. God is shaping his children into precious stones. The metallic oxide is his gospel of grace. As we bump up against one another and speak the gospel of grace to one another, God is chipping away at us, making us more and more like his beautiful son. Now let's be honest, we don't like God's method. We'd much rather just sit at home and read our Bible and pray and ask for the magic spirit to just come and chip away at us and do all of that by himself. And here's the thing. God's Holy Spirit often does come along into our lives and help us grow by his Holy Spirit. But the chief way God has given to grow his children is through the church, as we speak the gospel truth to one another in love. Which means you and I must open ourselves to and commit ourselves to speaking gospel truth in love to one another. Listen to how God instructs us through this very important verse, Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another, exhort, counsel, encourage, rebuke. Like, exhort is a big word. Be speaking to one another clearly. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of yous may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I love to encourage people. I've realized that there's this passion inside me. I love seeing someone do something really well and then coming alongside them and saying, that was well done. Like, keep doing that. I can see God's Spirit at work in you. Like, I'm in my wheelhouse when I get to do that. What I don't like to do is come alongside someone and say, hey, you're not behaving well. You're gossiping again. You're being sinful. That's just not good behavior. And I suspect you're the same. And so here's three tips to help us better speak gospel truth in love. Tip one, remember the tumbler. Remember, God's design actually is putting us with one another. It's part of God's plan. And God is good and God is always right in what he's doing. We are always wrong when we think, I just need my Bible and Jesus. God is always right when he places us in family to shine us up. Remember the tumbler. Next, remember Ephesians 4:15 and that phrase, speak the truth in love. Tim Chester speaks about this verse really helpfully, this image of speak truth in love. I don't actually remember whether it's from the You Can Change book of the term or I've read it from him somewhere else. But Tim helpfully points out that some of us only know how to speak like a hammer. We just come pounding in. And some of us only know how to speak softly and gently and well, fluffy. Now remember, we're in a long-term series. This whole term is called How People Change. It's a series on the biblical doctrine sanctification, growing in holiness, growing in godliness, growing more like Jesus. And the central thing that God wants to change about us through this growth is our heart. And today we're learning that God places us in church so that we can help each other change. And it is heart change that we're after. Now, we don't want a heart surgeon using a hammer. We don't want her using a feather. We want the sharpest scalpel imaginable. The sharpest scalpel for our heart is Jesus' gospel of grace. We speak gospel truth in love to one another. Tumblr, speak truth in love. Thirdly, remember the urgency of Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another every day. This is the main reason we strongly urge everyone to be in a point group. Our point groups are the small groups we meet in during the week. You know, 8 to 15 people. Some of them are bigger than that, but a group of us together. And my encouragement is, sisters, find a couple of sisters. Brothers, find a couple of brothers within that point group where you're going to be honest with each other. You've got full permission to ask all the questions because together we want to be speaking truth in love to one another. There's an urgency. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Okay. We've looked at our God. We've looked at our community. Now to our growth. I want to read Ephesians 4:11-16 again. It's my favorite passage to go to when I think, what is God wanting to do amongst us? Who are we as a church? What is every local church of Jesus Christ supposed to look like? Ephesians 4:11-16 is a powerful, beautiful, glorious picture of the church. And here's the thing. It is individual and it is corporate. God intends every single one of his children to grow. And God expects every single one of his children to grow in church, in community, individual and corporate. All right, you got Ephesians 4:11 open? And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So there's Jesus. He's ascended back up into heaven. He's on his throne. And he gives these word ministers to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Can you just see that we're building one another? We're not dependent on a few. There's just this whole one another image here of equipping the saints. Here we all are together building Jesus' church. As more come in, we want to keep building Jesus' church until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And every time I ask the question after reading the verse, hands up, who's reached the fullness maturity of Christ? And no one puts their hand up. So this is an ongoing process, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is deadly serious. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. He is our senior pastor, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I love that image. There is Jesus' picture of the church. I've tried to turn it into a logo. I think I'll be ready to die and go to heaven when we have a logo that captures that. I think it's impossible. There's just so many people working together to grow us all up into this amazing maturity. Church is not a building. Church is a people God is building. Church is not an event. Church is a people God is building. Church is not a show with a small handful of performers out the front. Church is a people God is building. Church is not a club that you attend when you want a special day out. Church is a people that God is building. And by the way, I did love hearing those amens. And did you hear that we need every part working properly together so that the whole body can be built up in love? Actually, the end of verse 16 says, so that the church builds itself up in love. Change is a community project. We may not like that. We might prefer to sit at home and listen to the podcasts of the best preachers and teachers from around the world. We may not like exhorting, rebuking a sister or brother. Actually, I hope you don't enjoy rebuking. If you do, there's something seriously wrong there. But I hope, I pray that we all love to be instruments in our Lord's hands as he builds his church. Ephesians 4 paints a beautiful picture of each member hungry to help their brothers and sisters grow more like Christ. So what might that look like for you? Two quick things to finish. Commit yourself to a lifestyle of transformative relationships. Individualism shapes us to only have friends that we get on with. One of the main values of modern individualism is comfort. Therefore, we naturally gravitate towards people who benefit us and who don't make us feel uncomfortable. Comfort is a terrible value. The Christian's number one value is godliness. And in order for you and I to grow in godliness, we need to change. And change is always painful. And so commit yourself to a lifestyle of mutually transformative relationships. Secondly, help others pursue relationships of transformation. Help others do the same thing. You know, we want to see biblical growth in change. Don't sit by and watch a fellow Christian drift away from church. We wrongly assume that as long as someone is making an effort with Jesus, Jesus' church does not matter. Today, we've been reminded that our God is an eternally relational God. We are created in His image. And from the moment God saved us, He placed us in His family. And as we're waiting for Jesus to return so we can be in that eternal gathering, He's gathering us in local church families today while we wait. Don't sit by and watch someone drift away from church. Help others pursue transformative relationships. Ephesians 4 is a powerful, beautiful image of Jesus building His church. It's impossible to be part of what Jesus is doing in your life apart from the church. Change is a community project. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we need your help. You want to do so much more than we ask or imagine. I know that I'm often just happy with a little room to be renovated in my life where you want to build the whole house. And so, Father, as you continue to change us and grow us, would you help us just step into what you're doing? And today, Father, we pray that we might see the excitement of doing that together. Help us speak truth in love. Help us speak your truth in the way that you love, so that we can help each other love you more. To you be the glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.